Good morning, Washington, D.C. Time to get up and at 'em and start your Saturday morning off right. I'm Adam Epstein. This is AWOD Radio. Happy Saturday, March 29th. That's right, it's March. We are live and local, and we've got a lot to get to on the show today. Coach Naki will join us at 10:30 a.m., color analyst for Maryland basketball. A former coach will join us to talk about the NCAA tournament. I want to talk about the NFL throughout the show today as well. And the quarterback carousel got a new superstar in the NFC East. Russell Wilson, will he succeed in New York? Look, he succeeded in Pittsburgh. They didn't have the most playoff success, but he had regular season success. He had suitors once again this offseason. And it's kind of crazy how a guy who was from Richmond, Virginia, played for two different colleges, and now has played for four NFL teams in like 5-6 years. He's been tossed around the league a little bit, but will he find success now in the NFC East? It certainly makes the two games against the Giants much more interesting for the Eagles, the Cowboys, and the Washington Commanders. And for the Washington Commanders, you know I have been beating the drum that this is the most important offseason in franchise history. The most important offseason in franchise history. I haven't spoken with you in a couple weeks. I've been traveling, covering VCU. I do the pregame and halftime show. I was in D.C. for the Atlantic 10 Conference Tournament. Shout out to the George Mason Patriots fans that came to that tournament. I mean, that was just electric, an atmosphere at Capital One Arena in Washington, D.C. And then I was fortunate enough to travel out to Denver, Colorado for the NCAA tournament. I got to see Richie Saunders, the tater tot man in BYU, Buzz Williams, Texas A&M, Michigan. It was a ton of fun out there, and I wanted to maybe recap the trip a little bit for you guys later on the show today. The altitude is real. We got Max running the ones and twos. Max, the altitude in Denver, the way they talk about it and how it affects the players, it affects the reporters as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I was out of breath.
Just getting
literally
gas too quick.
Getting gas, walking to the stadium.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Goodness.
But, and then I tried to play some basketball myself, and that was a big problem.
Just
out
huffing
there.
And puffing.
Just huffing and puffing. I couldn't even play horse. I was just completely gassed. So we want to talk about how this is the most important offseason in Commanders franchise history, and what does the win total over-under look like? And I read an article this week from ESPN's Mike Clay, and I'll tell you why I disagree with his statement that there are red flags for regression for the 2025-2026 Washington Commanders. But we'll start the show today, because it's March, my favorite month of the year outside my birthday, with the madness, the mania, the memories that all of you listeners have from NCAA tournaments of the past. One of my favorites back in the early 2000s, Juan Dixon, Steve Blake, Byron Mouton, Lonnie Baxter, Chris Wilcox, Gary Williams, and the Maryland Terrapins when they won it all. And I grew up loving college basketball. My mom went to Maryland. Her dad, my grandfather went to Maryland. And that tournament was one of my favorite memories as a kid. And it just got me completely hooked. Every single March, I'm locked to my TV. I remember growing up in Fairfax Station at Silverbrook Elementary School, and then at South County Secondary School, I would find a way to watch the tournament game. I remember one time me and my buddy Mike begged our science teacher for about an hour to put on the Maryland game, only for him to finally put it on, and then I believe we got upset by Michigan State, and I was heartbroken and did none of my homework for the rest of the week. But I have so many great memories from March, and like I said, I always found a way to watch the games, and it's so funny to me now because it's my livelihood now. I have to watch the games, but it works out nicely where I was in Denver covering VCU in the NCAA tournament, and then got to watch all the games at night, and then all the games Friday, and all games Saturday, and all games Sunday, and then this week was out at the bar Thursday and Friday. I got plans. It's going to be a beautiful day today to get out to a patio bar and watch the NCAA tournament. It's just my favorite time of the year. I love it so much, and there are flaws with the tournament, and we'll get into that, but this is the best tournament in all of sports and the postseason. There's just something about it. Like, I like the NBA, the fact that there's 7-game series, but it's not as good as a one-off. and the NFL is amazing, but it's so much hype. It's a week of hype, right? This, it's just 4 days of hype, and then boom, they play the game, and then you got to turn around 48 hours later and play another game against another team that you haven't been preparing for. And so that's why it's always fun, and it's always got upsets. You call me College Hoops AWOD. I love it so much. But this year in particular has felt different. It's been a lot of fun. The ratings have been great. I would argue it hasn't had the same vibe, even with the great ratings, even with the best ratings for the first round in 30 years. I would argue that's more because it's so easy to catch the action now. Everybody's got it on their phone, their iPad, their tablet, their laptop. Every TV's smart TV now. It's so easy to find the tournament now. But I would argue there's one thing that's missing in this year's Field of 68, and that is a great underdog story. A great underdog story. And why is that? Because the committee allowed North Carolina into the tournament. The first mistake. The committee allowed 14 SEC teams into the tournament. And they took every power mid-major program that was good this season. Colorado State won the Mountain West. Drake won their conference. VCU won their conference. And made them all 11 or 12 seeds. And gave them very difficult first-round matchups. And I'm not complaining because my bracket's busted. Because I actually have Alabama versus Auburn in the finals. I'll be fine. I'm complaining because I truly feel like there's something missing. The underdog story. The NCAA tournament, I always have believed, is truly one of the most exciting and entertaining tournaments we have in sports. It's the upsets, the buzzer beaters. It's really the intensity, right? It's the intensity. It's unmatched. And yet this year, it just felt like there's something missing. And I think that's the little guy. The underdog. Jack Golkies of the world. The guy that showed up last year for Oakland. Lamar Butler. Dunk City. Lob City. Right? I mean, Butler. Just literally the Butler Bulldogs. Felt like I'd never heard of that school. And then all of a sudden they're back-to-back Final Fours. And Brad Stevens becomes a household name. The underdog. It's just not as fun when it's only blue bloods and top seeds. But I would also argue two things can be true. It's missing the underdogs. But yet, the blue blood games are going to be good games. They're going to be entertaining games. It's already getting great ratings. So really, I'm complaining for no reason. That's what it feels like. But I just don't enjoy watching top seeds versus top seeds. So the madness here of this tournament every year, it's unbelievable. The upsets. But the madness is the David over Goliath to me. And the madness is lost right now. It's lost in all the money. It's lost in all the money. The madness is lost in the transfers. The coach is on the move. I've always felt like, and I've been covering college basketball for about 10 or 15 years now, all right? The way mid-majors used to hang with the big boys was to put together a full team that's a team as a whole that was better than the collection of other people's teams. Meaning, like, the big teams had the stars. Yes, they're going to have the NBA talent, but the underdogs had guys that had been playing together since they were 18 years old, right? But now every single time an underdog team has success, well, it's nearly impossible for them to keep their players. There's no continuity anymore for any of these mid-major programs. Heck, for any of these major powerhouse programs. They are just a farm system. It's become a minor league to the power conferences being the majors. Why is the ACC down this year? The ACC has always been stuck up and believed that they were better than everyone. And so this past offseason, instead of going out and plucking the best players from the SEC and the Big Ten and the Big 12, they just grabbed the other players that they were familiar with. You got a bunch of players from Virginia Tech on Miami, a bunch of players from UNC on UVA. I mean, they're just passing them around the league, and because of that, the league was down as a whole. The minor leagues now compared to the power conferences. Great year, and then, oh, welcome to the SEC. Like, you go out and you have a great year in the Patriot League or the CAA or the Horizon League. Then all of a sudden, the Big 12, the Big 10, the SEC, the ACC are going to come calling your name with a big check, and you're going to take it. And it's hard for me to get upset with these kids, but there's no loyalty anymore. But they take a big bag of money to go to Georgia, go to South Carolina, to go to LSU. But the product has suffered because of that. because what we're watching is a team of five players who have known each other for about 13 months. Good for the kids who get to move up and make more money and play in a bigger league, but there's no loyalty anymore. And loyalty, I think, is what led to the upsets, to the underdogs, to the mid-majors having success in the postseason. Guys that stuck around for one last shot to make it to the tournament. They got hot and they got on a run. And that's just not the case anymore, because every single team has to completely reload at the end of the season. It's worse than NBA free agency. There's no contracts. There's false promises. It's every man for themselves. It's the wild, wild west of sports. And if you want to be upset with the players, that's fine. But the coaches having no loyalty, the coaches having no loyalty, that's where you get into a real issue. That's where you get into a debacle, and that's where you get into embarrassing your program, embarrassing yourself, and embarrassing the university that you represent. And that's what happened to Kevin Willard. The tournament is still great because of the bracket, because of the number of games that are played in a short amount of time, because of the overlapping TV schedule. I mean, there's just nothing better than one game goes to halftime, the other game, boom, there's 5 minutes left. You could pay attention. Then that game ends, you turn to your right, there's another tip-off happening. And they got all the best announcers in sports. I mean, Kevin Harlan is just music to my ears on calls for NCAA games. He's so great. It's fantastic. There's so many great things about the tournament that it's going to be fine. And that it's still going to get great ratings. I would just argue this season in particular is truly lacking an underdog story. One that I can really root for. One that I can get behind, that I can be proud to root for without having any connection to the program. Right? I had no connection ever to Butler and Brad Stevens. But man, I thought that was so cool when they made their run. And so many other runs of the past. I mean, look at even NC State last year. That was the last Cinderella. And is that really a Cinderella? An ACC school that got hot at the end of the year and made a run? But look what happened to that school. Look what happened to their coach. He was about to get fired. His team got hot and they won the ACC tournament, went to the Final Four. Less than 365 days later, he's without a job. He's without a job? How is that even possible? You just lead your team to the Final Four. Well, half the team didn't come back. Half the team was gone. The only reason they were able to make that run is because a lot of them were super, super seniors, right? They had the older team that got together and got hot at the end of the year. That was your last true Cinderella? NC State? Jimmy V's school? The one that just hired a crooked Will Wade? Where's Cinderella? Where's their slipper? Will it ever fit again? I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, streaming in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app.
Terps are down by one, and Gillespie looks to inbound. There it goes to Queen. Queen will drive in against Morton. Queen with a shot off the glass.
Got it! And the Pelicans have won it! At the buzzer on a shot! Oh, my goodness! By Derrick Queen! 72-71, and we're heading to San Francisco! It's about time! Wow! Man, oh, man, oh, man.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980. Both got you covered on both ends of the dial, 106.7 FM, 980 AM in Richmond, 910 The Fan, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. That was the call of the Derrick Queen shot off the glass that put Maryland into the Sweet 16. And the reason I played that clip is because I feel like we should have heard that clip a million times. We should have heard rants about how amazing that shot was for a full week. That's what we should have been talking about instead of Kevin Willard. Where did Kevin Willard go wrong? And should Maryland have made the most difficult decision in the world but actually pulled him from the sidelines? Can you do that? Should Maryland have done that? I mean, just talk about a huge distraction, an utter disappointing end to an incredible season. What the hell, Kevin Willard? Where did he go wrong? So, look, as of right now, he's still the head coach of Maryland. We're waiting on a report. I would say my timeline, the way things usually work with the coaches here is, look, you lose the game, you fly home, you talk to the team, you talk to your family. There should be an announcement that he's at Villanova probably by the end of the show today. I would not be surprised. There's no loyalty anymore in sports, especially in college basketball. And Kevin Willard decided to flirt with Villanova while his team was having the best season in 5 years. The best season for this fan base in a long time. And one of the most exciting players that this team has had in a long, long time. He makes a lot of money. He's got a good contract. He's got a good conference that he's coaching in. Why would you do this? Why not wait till the end of the season? I'll tell you why. Because there's tampering happening all over the country. So, yes, I'm upset with Kevin Willard. All right, he did not handle this correctly. The Maryland front office didn't handle it correctly either. But the bigger problem is the NCAA and the transfer portal. That's why these coaches have to get started on their next job. Because of Coach Calipari's famous speech, I spoke to the team. There is no team. That's what we're dealing with every year in college basketball. Every year, there's pretty much no team. Your entire squad will go into the transfer portal. That's why we lost one of the greats in Coach Jim Larrañaga this year. He said, I've had enough. We went to the Final Four. I talked to the team. 8 players entered the transfer portal. Why was that not enough? You went to the Final Four. So there's no loyalty anymore. And the issue of the transfer portal leads to bad decisions. And Kevin Willard made a bad decision. He took away from his team. He took away from the university. And he made it all about me. Me, 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 me. Me first. And it's a big problem, and I'm so disappointed by it, because I really liked Kevin Willard, and I thought he was the right guy for the job, and I thought it was the right hire initially, right? When he came from Seton Hall, I was like, man, this is a guy on the rise right now. Maryland snatches him up. All of a sudden, he's bringing in some really good recruits. They got money backing it now, and he decides it's not one of the best 30 jobs in college basketball. I can do better. I can do better. And I'm going to Villanova. And he decides to openly share his concerns about the AD, about the program, about, oh, I wanted to spend an extra night in New York with my team to be a family. None of that needed to be aired out into the public. I think, like, where did he go wrong? You never, never go nuclear like that on your university when you're in the middle of a run. You could have saved all of that for after the season. And I felt like deep down Kevin Willard has a good heart. And I know a lot of Maryland fans probably hate him and think he doesn't even have a heart. He doesn't even have a soul. Like, Maryland fans probably hate him right now. My mom's a Terp. She was heartbroken by this whole situation. I had to break it down to her. It's one of those stories that has crossed over from sports to pop culture where everybody is hearing about it now. And just, What a mistake by Kevin Willard. Just what a mistake. And so where did he go wrong to begin with? It was ever opening his mouth. Ever opening his mouth and making it about him. And but like I said, I really think deep down he has a heart. And the reason he did it, the reason he ever said anything was because he was hoping that it would fix things. But he opened up a can of worms and now you just can't put it back in the box. I think he initially opened his mouth, and in his mind he thought, well, maybe if I air out our dirty laundry, they'll wash it, they'll clean it, and they'll give it back to me, and I'll be able to make it work here at Maryland. That was not the right case. It didn't work out like that at all. It's taken away from an incredible journey that this team had this season. And we played that highlight right there, and that's what it should have all been about. I mean, that shot. Now, I know Maryland's out of the tournament and they lost to Florida, but that was because there was a huge distraction in my mind. Plus, Florida's a much better team. But here's what I think I'm going to leave this topic with. When you win a first-round game in the NCAA tournament, you get 24 hours basically to celebrate. Your fans get 24 hours to celebrate. I made a joke, and I've had a lot of people actually agree with me, that when you win Thursday in the NCAA tournament, that Friday is the best day of the year. You're on a high like you've never been on before because your team just won, especially when it's an upset or a close game. You got the win. You're taking off work or you're getting out of work early to drink a beer and watch basketball. It's the greatest day, but it's one day. It's one day. Because normally, you watch basketball all day Friday, then your team gets blown out on Saturday. They lose a heartbreaker on Saturday. Goes down to the wire, they lose on Saturday. Or they play Friday and they lose on Sunday. And that's it. And then you're back to the drawing board, or you're moving on to baseball or basketball in the NBA or the NHL, and that's the end of your season. But when you win two games, and it's hard to do, only 16 teams do it every single year. This year, the round of 16, how unsweet it is in my mind with no 11 seeds, no teams from outside of the P4. But when you win two games, the Sweet 16, it's the greatest thing for your fan base. It really is. Like, in terms of the NCAA tournament, the hierarchy is you get to the Sweet 16, great celebration, and then the next is the Final Four, great celebration. Because with the Elite Eight, like, you don't really get a chance to celebrate. You see what I'm saying? You win Friday, and then maybe you lose Sunday, or you win Thursday, and then you lose Saturday. But when you get to the Sweet 16, all right, you get a full Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday that is supposed to be like a Super Bowl parade. You're supposed to take your shirt off, streak through the quad, run the streets Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all of Thursday morning, leading up to the game Thursday night, because it's the greatest thing ever. You got to the Sweet 16. Who cares if you won or lost? You're celebrating for the entire lead up, the entire week up to it, right? It's kind of like how cool it was when the Commanders got to the NFC Championship game. Even though they lost to the Eagles and got blown out, we had a full week where we were celebrating a win. The Bills were celebrating a win. The Chiefs were celebrating a win. The Eagles were celebrating a win. Four teams were happy. 28 teams were pissed off. Think about that for college basketball now, right? So what I'm saying is, when you win two games and Derek Queen hits that shot off the backboard at the buzzer, there are 340 college basketball teams that are pissed up, that have had players enter the portal, that have coaches leaving, that have athletic directors leaving. Your university is supposed to celebrate for a full 4 days. And Kevin Willard took away from that. And that's the big issue. That's the big issue. Is that he took away from the fan base celebrating, from the kids celebrating, from the university building on that success, and he made it all about him. It's supposed to be the greatest thing ever. It's a full week long of just popping bottles and talking about how great your team is. And everybody gets locked in, right? You got your NFL beat writers. All of a sudden, they're locked into college basketball trying to find out how the ins and outs of the local team and the eighth man on the bench and all that stuff. It's supposed to be the greatest week ever. And yet, it became the Kevin Willard show for the whole week. And then Maryland lost, and now their season's over, and now it's a mess, and now they're going to lose their whole roster, now they're going to have to start all over, now they're going to have to hire a new coach and a new AD, and it's just depressing. And it was supposed to be a great week. And that's on Kevin Willard. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. If you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. You're listening to AWOD on The Fan. Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD, live and local here on a Saturday, March 29th. This is AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio. 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond on 910 AM, 105.1 FM, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Kevin Willard is a certified vibe killer, according to USA Today. They say, imagine taking on a massive project at work, arguably the most significant project you've ever taken on. And right before you get ready to tackle that big project, you tell your team, There's a slight chance you might not be back here. Max took on a big project on Friday, had to fill in for Valdez on the Junkies. What if at 4 a.m. you called Drab T-shirt and said, well, I don't know, I think I want to work on Chris Russell's show today. I think I want to do that.
I don't think I'd be here today.
I mean, what are you doing, Kevin Willard? The Sports Junkies had John Rothstein on the show. Let's hear Rothstein break down the Maryland mess.
Top 10, highest. Now, I reported on Selection Sunday that Maryland was working on a contract extension that would make Kevin Willard one of the top 10 highest paid coaches in all of college basketball. That deal that Kevin Willard has on the table now for Maryland, that's over $5 million a year. And there's other incentives that Maryland has put in the fine print in an effort to keep Kevin Willard at Maryland. As we have seen from Kevin Willard's reaction to press conferences throughout the NCAA tournament, things at Maryland are extremely, extremely volatile right now. The AD, Damon Evans, who presented Kevin Willard with a term sheet a couple of weeks ago, is now set to become the next athletic director at SMU. And Kevin Willard has aired a lot of these frustrations publicly throughout the NCAA tournament. But I have never seen a program go to the second weekend of the NCAA tournament and have all this uncertainty surrounding what's going on with their head coach moving forward. But this is Maryland basketball right now. This is the state of affairs. So Kevin Willard is going to weigh the offer to stay at Maryland and be one of the top 10 highest paid coaches in college basketball, or he's going to go and be the next head coach at Villanova and go back to the Big East, where he had great success at Seton Hall. Now, you can make rationalizations for both. There's a lot of stuff out there right now that with revenue sharing and everything that's going to change in college sports right after the season, that Big East programs will have more resources for their budget to pay players and so on and so forth.
There's certainly an argument about how much the Big East is going to benefit from the new revenue share. They're going to be able to spend, upwards of $5 to $7 million every single year on basketball. And the thing, and Rusty had a good breakdown there. But I think the thing that upsets me most is that, like I said last segment, the fan base didn't get to celebrate the win from the round of 32 to the lead up to the Sweet 16. It was a huge distraction for 4 days that's supposed to be the best 4 days of the year for the entire fan base. And I kind of think that a statement could have been made, and you just pull Willard from the sideline. And, like, I know it's a big moment for all these players, and you actually felt like you had a chance to win. I don't think you had a chance to win with how much of a distraction this was. And Florida's so good. And they stuck with him in the first half, and so maybe you could argue, the players did play hard for Willard. They do love him, and they fought their ass off the first 20 minutes. But in the second half, it just wasn't even a game. Florida's so good. It's part of my issue with college basketball now is it's all pay to play. Florida wasn't good a couple years ago. Todd Golden took over. They gave him a blank check and said, here's your NIL money. Go get us a full roster. Right, and so that's why the SEC is so good at the top half here, because Alabama, Florida, Auburn, Tennessee basically outspent everybody this year. And so I don't know. I'm upset with the tournament for that reason. I feel like it's missing the underdog vibe, but I'm just so upset that Kevin Willard took away from what should have been the best 4 days for that fan base. Phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. It's our buddy Little who wants to chime in on line one. What's up, Little?
Hey, my man. Hey, well, always good to chop it up with you, man. Shout out to the hardest working producer in the DMV, Mad Mac.
How you doing today, man?
Man, Willard ain't no coach, man, first of all. His defense, Willard had a bunch of streak shooters, man. And like you say, the first half of the game, they played a hell of a game, but he got away from it. So what coach can get away from something that's working? When you're pounding the ball on the post and you're giving that kid a chance to go to the foul line or even make a bucket. Man, his defensive strategy is weak. Why the hell you ain't got five of your big men at the half-court line to stop that heave? And then again, you let a man go from one end of the court to the other end of the court, and you don't tell your big man, look, if he's going hard, you pull up and take the charge.
Yeah.
And you make them make a harder shot. The Northwestern game, they up by 12 points in the fourth quarter. He don't run no plays to go to the post where he can try to get a foul or he continue to try to run the ball outside in. One coach plays outside in and you got two big men on the post. What kind of coach that play outside in and you have a big man on the post? And you're supposed to use Queen like Denver used the Joker. Now, he's not a coach, man. I'm telling him, man, you go get a hot high school coach, a Tissel, somebody from good Tassel, and then you'll have your NIL money. And you watch how one of these hot high school coaches will influence these local kids. Hell with the kids around the nation. All the players right here in DMV. Go get your hot high school coach, Maryland, if you're listening.
I'm with you, man. I hear the frustrations. I don't think that's what they're going to choose. I think they're going to go get a veteran coach, get a guy that's got experience.
It don't make sense because then your money gone. See, man, they're going to keep hustling backwards. AWOL, that's all I got, man. You know, another thing, look, man, David Johnson doing the same damn thing he did last year. I'm listening to y'all on the radio, and this boy's throwing 98 miles an hour in the 6-7 inning, and he's pulling them. What the hell are you pulling him for? He's doing the same thing he did last year, man. And the National – and look, David Johnson ain't no bona fide manager in my eyes.
David Martinez.
Yeah, he's doing the same thing. He's doing the same damn thing. He's pulling the pitchers. Man, leave the pitchers until they get in trouble. At least get in trouble. Man, that's all I got, man. It's sad, man. David Johnson got to go, man. Everybody keep an eye on him, man. Watch what he's doing, but – All right, man.
All right, Little. I appreciate you chiming in, man. Always fun to hear your call. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. Max, you were telling me about JP's rant here about Kevin Willard. I did want to take a listen to what JP had to say. Clip number 10 in the system.
So I go to College Park. I'm in College Park. I talk to people that know things while I'm out there. And this Villanova Kevin Willard stuff's been going on for weeks, I find out. Weeks. As he's going down the stretch of the most important season Maryland's had. Also, lost in all of this, it's the best season Willard's ever had. Yo, Villanova, good luck. Good luck. This dude's made one Sweet 16 in 20 years. Oh, but, where's he been coaching? Shut up! You know that you can win wherever you go? You know that there are winners at McNeese State? And you know what VCU has done for damn 30 years? It's just fine winning coaches. They just find winning coaches. Oh, but Kevin Willard needs his damn handheld everywhere he goes. Please. This has been going on for weeks, I found out yesterday. Weeks. Probably a month. What month is it? March? February, dog.
He's not wrong. We're seeing this around the country. And that's the thing is, like, Maryland fans are upset. VCU fans have a reason to be upset. Their coach left. New Mexico fans have to be upset. Their coach left. Xavier fans have a reason to be upset. Their coach left. Look around college basketball. The players haven't been loyal. All right? The transfer portal has changed loyalty in college sports for players, and now it has bled into the coaches. And there's just no loyalty with coaches. And what kind of promises do you think Kevin Willard made to Derek Queen and the rest of the team to get them to come to Maryland in the first place? Oh, I'm going to be here for 5 years. I'm going to build you up, send you to the NBA. Right? And yet he's flirting with another school for months in advance? There's no loyalty anymore with college sports. And so, like, JP's very upset there. I love that rant. I think the anger needs to be directed, yes, at Willard, but more to the NCAA, the committee here, and everybody involved in this. It's just the stupidest thing in sports to have a transfer portal open when there's games being played. It doesn't make any sense. It's never made any sense. You're just taking away from the players that are in the tournament. You're taking away from the tournament. That's your damn cash cow. That's your moneymaker. And you're going to take away from it because you open up the transfer portal? But these kids got to go to class, and then they got to transfer to another school, and they got to sign up for new classes. School doesn't matter anymore. You're paying them $200,000 to play for your team. It's semi-pro now. It's semi-pro. It's pay to play. It is. And there's no loyalty with players. There's the loyalty with coaches seems to be even worse because those were supposed to be, you know, father figures, and they're walking out the door on these kids and breaking their heart. So there's no loyalty. Not at all. And it's not going to get any better because there's no rules in place. It's the wild, wild west of college sports. And again, what upsets me the most is I've seen worse Maryland teams, teams that have worse players, teams that don't get the same amount of wins, get remembered for more than what this team did. I've seen Maryland teams who are not as good get remembered more for what this team did. When we look back on this season in 5 years, in 10 years, will the conversation be about the legacy set by the Crab Five and Derek Queen's bank shot? I don't think so. Everyone's going to remember the debacle that was this Willard standoff. That's what everyone's going to remember. And that's what upsets me the most. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Max with the smooth tunes here to calm me down as we're talking about the NCAA tournament. And outside of the Maryland situation, you can chime in. Phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. You can tweet me at AWOD Radio or at 1067 The Fan. Mark tweets me, AWOD, I have countless of Maryland friends who's not talking about anything other than playing Florida. The media is the ones who are talking about the coach more than the team. I disagree with you, Mark. I think it's been a national story. Of course, the local media has to, you know, weigh in, and it's an embarrassing situation the way Kevin Willard handled himself in my mind. It's a shame. Cobra Commander tweets me, blank Willard. Yeah, that's the way a lot of people are feeling today. But outside of this Maryland situation and the fact that I opened the show with, I hate the fact that there's just no true underdog. There's no underdog storyline this year in the NCAA tournament. But the one thing that I'm noticing, and I want to get your opinion on, 1-800-636-1067, in my mind, the big thing I'm noticing is the noticeable, expanding talent gap between the best teams and the rest. Max, the one seeds are seemingly a tier above the rest. They're so good now.
They're pretty incredible. It's been a real chalky tournament.
It's been a real chalky tournament. Why is that? Because they are spending the money. Look at Auburn. So I wanted to go through the games last night. Auburn, I mean, that game was close for a while, and then Auburn, my goodness, Tahad Pettiford got hot. And Johnny Broome, 22 points, 16 rebounds. Auburn's team is unfreaking believable. They're so good. They've got so many studs on this team. And Bruce Pearl is an incredible coach. And Michigan was the Cinderella story in my mind. The fact that Dusty May was coaching a mid-major and took a few of his mid-major players with him just a few years ago. But Auburn, too good. Way too good. Houston, Purdue. How about that play designed by Kelvin Sampson? Oh, my goodness. Tied at 60. Time's running out. Ball under the basket. And you get a layup. You get a layup for the win. I mean, just a fantastic play call. That was coaching right there. All right? That Houston's not winning games because they have the most expensive roster. It's athletes and it's great coaching. I could watch that play over and over again. You know how genius that is to throw the ball in and then give it back to the inbounder? I mean, if I was defending that, I'd lose my mind. That's the one guy usually you don't have to guard with 5 seconds left. Maybe on a sidelines out of bounds, you always say the inbounder is the most dangerous player because the sideline, you give it back to them and they are open for three. But under the basket, you rarely ever see that. Usually that player gets lost or stays out of bounds. My goodness. Just a fantastic ending to that game last night. Michigan State over Ole Miss, 73-70. Coach Izzo does it again, one win away from his ninth Final Four. And I always love how, I do really love this. Every March, you hear a conversation that Tom Izzo's overrated because he's got one national championship. You know how hard it is to get to eight Final Fours? He is one of the greatest things. He's one of the greatest gifts to college basketball fans that's ever existed. At 70 years old, he's on the sidelines acting like he's 32. He's sweating on the sidelines. He's getting down with his players. He's celebrating with them. And all the reports are is he doesn't want to call it quits. He sees his peers, Coach K, Tony Bennett, Jim Larrañaga, Jay Wright, all step down. He's just adjusted to the new rules, to the new era of the transfer portal. Tom Izzo's been awesome. Awesome. I've never thought he's overrated. Kentucky loses to Tennessee. Tennessee, it's hard to beat a team three times in 1 year. Tennessee wins 78-65. I'll tell you who I will be rooting for when we get to tonight's actions when we return. You're listening to AWOD here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan.